Swing and a miss, and Tatis hurts himself on the swing. Fernando goes down after strike three and appears to be clutching his arm. They had the shoulder problem during spring training.
Yeah,
that shoulder would pop out from time to time.
Yep.
And you kind of wonder if that's the situation here as he's holding that arm as he walks off.
It's You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Audio Network.
Bally Sports San Diego on the call last night. That is just brutal for the Padres, for Major League Baseball. We don't yet know the extent of Fernando Tatis's injury. Hypoplexia, Ken, is that what like the actual medical term is?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just, I refer to him as Dr. Don Orsillo in our chat, the guy, play-by-play guy for the Padres, who, I mean, everybody was pretty familiar with the condition because when he got hurt in the spring, it was a really big deal. Like, is this going to be a thing that lingers into the season or not? He was able to play, obviously, but it basically never fully healed. And at some point, this was totally possible, maybe even likely, kind of what we know about how much it affected him already. It's obviously a very significant injury, one of the most significant we've had over the course of this early part of the season. And it'll be really interesting, just kind of the market impacts on a day-to-day level. Position players are always something, as somebody who's betting baseball seriously for the first time this year, that I find really fascinating. Like, what is an individual position player's effect on a money line price, like whether he's in or out of the lineup? I mean, you think of a guy like Trout, obviously there's going to be a significant adjustment if he's out. A guy like Tatis, like, is there a significant adjustment? You know, like, there will be one, but is it a couple percent? Is it more? Like, these are the kind of players where, like, I'm really interested in what happens the next few games as we start to figure out kind of the long-term impact of that, because it looks like it's at least going to be lingering for a long time. This strikes me as like he's out for a while to actually get it fully healed.
I mean, this could be like a season-ending injury potentially. If
maybe first half of the season, maybe, like
which really sucks. And I think almost like, you know, we take it from a game-by-game basis and like to a futures perspective, right, where, you know, a lot of people kind of thought maybe the Padres could be the team to finally unseat the Dodgers in the National League West, maybe even with pennant in the National League now. I mean, they're going to be without Tatis for a lot of the season, Ken. It's not impossible, obviously, for them to get past the Dodgers and win the division, but I don't know. I feel like it probably, you know, it's the chance is not as good with that without their young gun, Fernando Tatis.
Well, yeah, and what we've already figured out, if you want to just take the Dodgers and Padres and put them against each other here, even from very early in this season, and the Dodgers just mopped the Oakland A's last night. I mean, absolutely. I mean, just like it was like a fake game almost with how much they dominated. And they might continue to do so in this series. We'll see. Kershaw pitches tonight. Just when you really get the full effect of the current healthy Dodgers rotation and how they're able to just turn over the rotation one after another, and literally every game you're going to be minus 180 on at home. They might be minus 300, minus 320 at home in some of these games with some of these guys. I mean, it's just, you know, like Bauer at home against Colorado. What is that, 350? I mean, you know, we see a similar situation with Cole tonight where it's like Cole against a below league average starter. Like, you're going to see 300 sometimes. I think in the Dodgers games, you're going to see it a lot. And what that kind of speaks to is like the tough mountain that it is to climb to kind of overtake that team in the division. Padres were trying to do that. I think they, you know, I don't think they had done it with what they had built, but they had gotten close enough that you get some injuries, you get some variance. Maybe you end up, you know, through kind of like luck, basically end up winning the division. But instead, the bad luck has kind of hit them instead of obviously they were hoping to hit the Dodgers.
I love also, it's like Kurt Angle back in the day in WWE, like his shtick is that like when Triple H tore his quad and they were feuding, Angle's whole shtick, and if Triple H missed like 9 months and then came back at Madison Square Garden like a famous event, I was actually there for it. It was awesome. And Angle's whole shtick was tear your quad. Like I want an Olympic medal with a broken neck. I tear my quad every other week and I'm fine. It's like Fernando Tatis apparently like dislocates his shoulder like every other game.
Right. Like you and I eat breakfast basically.
Well, he had the issue with the dislocated shoulder every other day in spring training. Right. Like, oh my God. And like, doing some reading about Tatis, he apparently has had like quote unquote, and I love like these nebulous terms, and you get them the most sure in like baseball and hockey, like left shoulder discomfort since he was in like rookie ball. Like right. They gave him a 14. It's way too early to be like the contract's not going to work out. It's not going to work out, but like not a good sign. I feel like you can't be feeling great if you're the San Diego Padres right now for many different reasons.
Right. I would just add, because I mentioned like the Padres had like bad injury luck and the Dodgers didn't. Like, we'll see what's up with Bellinger, who got hurt last night. He's out of the lineup today, I think.
Apparently he's fine, though. Nothing serious.
But, you know, he got hurt and Chris Taylor got hurt last night and Seager and Bellinger, I think, are out of the lineup tonight. So it's, you know, it's not like the Dodgers are just, you know, floating on by through everything. Like, they've had a couple issues, but obviously nothing as severe as what's happened to San Diego.
I love that. Yeah, yeah. In spring training, he was like dislocating his shoulder every other day.
Right. He's doing his parlor game. Right. That's
what... Sounds painful. Yeah. It's like the bearded lady and then the guy who dislocates right. his shoulder at will and just yep. pops it back in. Wow. Okay, so now I think we can get into our Major League Baseball takeaways from yesterday with Nick Costos, Ken Barkley here on the BetQL Audio Network. Actually, before we do that, so the Champions League is on right now. So the Manchester City-Dortmund game that's happening. City is up 1-0, 69th minute. Nice. Kevin De Bruyne, the only goal, 19 minutes in. I haven't seen the highlight.
Is he still awesome? He's still awesome, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I don't watch any soccer anymore. I only know things from the World Cup. That's all I remember.
I don't know if he's awesome. Like, I feel like 2 years ago, he may have been like the third best player in the world behind Messi and Ronaldo. I don't know that he's like at that level right now, but yes, he's still like magnificent. And City, probably the best team. So Dortmund actually got robbed of a goal on like one of like the worst officiating calls like you'll ever. I actually haven't seen it, but just reading a lot of people I respect all uniformly saying this is like the worst call ever. Like referee made something up. Anyway, so City's up 1-0. Looks like they'd be able to win that game against Dortmund, but we'll see. And I took the draw in this Real-Liverpool game
yes.
for a bunch of different reasons that I detailed yesterday. I really thought this was going to be a game played close to the vest where Real just kind of tries to escape with like a 1-1 or 0-0 draw and take the second leg back to Anfield and get Sergio Ramos, their longtime captain, stalwart defensively, get him back. Real's like whooping them right now. They just scored again. They're up 3-1 right now over Liverpool. It's kind of a shocking performance from Liverpool right now. And, you know, they could always come back in the second leg, but this looks like more like Champions League magic with Zidane and Real Madrid right now, minus Cristiano Ronaldo. But yeah, 70th minute here, Real up 3-1. Pretty surprising, honestly. I did not expect it.
Okay. And so where, in terms of like how this result impacts like the macro, is it, we're in the quarterfinals right now? Is that where we're at right now?
So the winner of this would play, this is the quarters. So Chelsea, Porto, that first game is tomorrow. The winner of this tie plays the winner of Chelsea, Porto. If you remember when we were kind of going through like why I like Chelsea to win the Champions
yes,
League,
the path.
It was because they get this winner as opposed to like Manchester City, PSG, or Bayern Munich. They're all three of those teams are on the other side. So at this point, it's looking like it's probably like it's going to be Real Madrid, but I mean, who the hell knows? I mean, we still have like, you know, 20 minutes left in this game and then a full other game to be played at Anfield. So certainly possible for Liverpool to come back. We've seen them do it before. And quite frankly, against better competition, against Barcelona. So it has happened before, but, you know, Chelsea, I think would be the favorites against Real Madrid. So interesting to see.
And have they, and they play tomorrow, right? Chelsea plays tomorrow.
Chelsea play Porto tomorrow. PSG plays Bayern tomorrow. We'll do a little Nicky football later in the show.
Excellent. Very excited for that.
Thoughts on tomorrow's games. But for now, it's BetQL Audio Network, Costos and Barkley. Let's run through some of our baseball takeaways from last night. So Rick, drop the baseball music. I don't know which one we're ultimately going to settle on. We like this.
Oh, you love this. This is the one that you said you hated yesterday.
Yeah, I think I hate this one too, to be honest.
It's horrible, but it may be horrible to the point that I like it.
It's kind of like an 8-bit. It's an 8-bit version of a Bieber song, basically. It's kind of like it's got like a Nintendo 8-bit kind of sound going on a couple times, and then it's kind of got that like poppy, just bleh kind of background.
But like it never changes.
Right. Like so in that way, it's very much like a Nintendo song.
What if we wanted to play like a bed from Mega Man 2 on the show? Would we get sued?
By who? I mean, like Nintendo's coming after us? Really?
Capcom?
Dr. Wily?
I'll tell
filing
you,
frivolous lawsuits.
Dr. Wily is too big time for us. He's like Bubble Man after us.
Like the guy who delivers the subpoena comes down in a spaceship, like raises his eyebrows a couple times and drops off the subpoena.
It would be Bookie Man.
You've been served.
He comes with a bat. Right. He comes with a bat.
It's Serving Man.
And the Bookie Man coming with the bat. I wonder how much of our audience like gets the Mega Man 2 references.
Nah, it's pretty. Mega Man's still pretty widely known, I think, right? If we make Seinfeld references, we can make Mega Man references.
Give me some sports gambling crossovers that we would have in Mega Man for Mega Man bad guys.
Parlay Man, when his weapon would be like long ticket. Be like, I gotta fire the long ticket. Gotta get
well,
that.
Well, I think what you'd have to do to kill Parlay Man is you'd have to do like two things at once, and you'd have to get them at the right? same time in order to beat him.
You have to jump and shoot, and that's how then he jumps at the same time.
And you hit the Parlay, and then Parlay Man, you know, right. disintegrates.
Yeah, and Parlay Man only beats you like 1 in 100 times, but when he does, it's like insane. I mean, it's crazy.
then there's Teaser Man, who you have the advantage right. over, but like you, yep. but like both of the weapons you have to use are at half power.
Correct. Yeah. You need everything to kind of go right, even though you're a favorite to be a Teaser Man. He's very difficult.
What else would
well, instead of Rush, you'd have Underdog would be your dog that would accompany you. That
Underdog.
Would be also,
I like that.
Clearly Underdog would
I like
be that.
That.
Yeah. So, let's see. You would have, I don't know, what else? I'm trying to combine like Bad Beat into something.
Well,
like, Beat
have,
is a Mega have, Man character, obviously, but
you'd have Mattress Man and it would be Mattress Mac. And
right. Like, yeah. Exactly. Right. So
and you couldn't.
His weapon would be craving attention. That would be the weapon that you get from him. Yeah. His weapon would be stupid promotion. That would be like, oh, how do I beat this? We got to fire your stupid promotion. That's how you beat it.
Am I driving this into the ground? Or are there any other funny things? Or.
I don't know. I'm coming up blank a little bit. I feel like the more you do it, the more I'm going to end up making fun of something I shouldn't make fun of, probably.
Parlay Man.
Parlay Man, pretty good. Yeah.
Okay. Jays beat the Rangers 6-2, Ken. My big takeaway here, besides from Mike Foltynewicz, a.k.a. Faulty, sucking, which we knew. Steven Matz, man, you're a Blue Jays fan. You're a Blue Jays better, futures better. You got to be really encouraged with this. Steven Matz, 6 1/3, 9 strikeouts in his Blue Jay debut.
Yeah, we've gone one time through the Blue Jays rotation, basically. And in each case, I'm kind of like, is this a team that I would really bet, like, that I would have bet over 87? Like, this rotation, I would have bet over. And yet it all kind of fits together. They're winning a bunch of close games right now. So, yeah, I'm really curious if they can keep this up. It just doesn't look like a dominant rotation on paper. But, I mean, Matt's going to pitch like this, and Ryu's going to give him, like, you know, his A-plus kind of game. Then I guess it kind of makes sense that their win total was what it was. I'm still, like, I'm just confused on how I feel about that team. Almost probably more than any team in Major League Baseball.
Okay, that's the Toronto Blue Jays, who are 3-1 right now after the win yesterday over the Texas Rangers. Let's move on to the Kansas City Royals, who are like the darling of like the sports gambling community prior to baseball season. And they look pretty good so far. They're 3-1 right now. They take care of the Indians, blank them 3-0. Danny Duffy, 6 scoreless innings. Whit Merrifield, 3 RBI.
Yeah, most interesting thing was just the market was very interested in Cleveland in that game. Cleveland took a ton of action the whole day. Not really sure why necessarily, but also really interesting. There were a bunch of games yesterday where teams exited first series that had gone way over game after game after game, featured a ton of run scoring, ton of hitting. Once they moved on to their second series, basically the total in that ended up flipping. So you had Kansas City coming out of a series against Texas where they scored infinity runs, basically. And then they walk into game one against Cleveland, 3-0, game flies under the total. There were actually a bunch of games where teams coming out of high scoring first series that ended up going under. St. Louis and Cincinnati both went under in their games. That would be another example.
All right, so that's the Royals taking down the Indians 3-0. Another shutout was in the Bronx as my New York Yankees destroyed the Orioles 7-0. Jordan Montgomery won't get the headlines because of the next thing I'm going to mention, but 6 scoreless innings, 7 strikeouts. Great sign if you're a Yankee fan or a Yankee better. And then Giancarlo, no seat place to Parlo with the grand slam here that really like took me back to Albert Pujols moonshot in the playoffs off Brad Lidge with the pitcher reaction, just crumbling to his knees as soon as the ball leaves the bat, like 477 feet from Giancarlo Stanton as the Yankees destroy the Orioles.
Yeah, really, really good job by us saying, well, we'd never bet the Yankees last night, or they were literally like a no-doubt winner from like inning 2 onward. Judge homered for the first time last night too, which was good. And they really, against Toronto, one of the things was they didn't really hit in the series, which is really surprising. Obviously, you open at home against some pitchers that you think are kind of gettable. Didn't really end up hitting. Obviously, hit a good amount last night. I would imagine they're going to hit a lot tonight, but sometimes when your ace is throwing, maybe that doesn't necessarily happen. But the expectation for them tonight has to be like minimum 5 or 6 runs.
I hate this music bed.
Yeah, I don't like it very much either.
Okay, what can we do? Can we actually do like something for Mega Man 2, or is that like not advisable?
Might not be like a in the show kind of thing. Maybe we try to figure it out for tomorrow.
Okay, we'll continue our Major League Baseball takeaways on the other side, including a big comeback in the American League West, and we'll talk a little NBA as well. My Knicks lose again in a test game. NBA and Major League Baseball on the other side, Tuesday. You better, you bet.
It's You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Audio Network.
This is already better.
I feel like we do our like old timey voices. Yeah, he's fixing to hit the ball over the fence, and there it goes. Meh.
Well, that's not an old timey voice. That's like the fake gangster voice.
Right, but fake gangsters from like the 30s and 40s.
Oh yeah, see.
So your argument is that your argument is that gangsters nowadays talk like that. That's your argument.
I don't know. I mean, did the gangsters ever talk like that? Has anyone ever talked like that?
I'm sure it was depicted in so many movies that it had to be rooted somewhat in reality. But obviously, neither of us were there, so we don't know.
Yeah, see, I did something horrible last inning. See, I said something really offensive. See, and then Castellanos hits the ball out to left. See. And the Reds take a 4-3 lead. Reds beat the Pirates last night 5-3. Yeah. Nicholas Castellanos. It's poor Tom Brenneman. Like, you know.
Poor Tom Brenneman are like awesome for us that we get to make that joke the end of time. And it's always funny.
And you know, I don't know if I want to say poor Tom Brenneman, because there are a lot of people that were really pissed. Like, it's just like.
Correct.
That's like, I mean, you could never even begin to script that entire like sequence of events occurring.
Correct.
Like,
right.
There's a drive out.
And there's a drive lay. That's Castellanos. It's a home run. That's going to make it a 4-0 ball game.
It's going to make it
a 4-0 ball game.
The guy, just forget about the game for a second. Just
maybe. Yeah, maybe it's not that important that it became a 4-0 ball game. Maybe that's not necessarily the most pressing matter right now.
There's a drive out. Just ridiculous. Anyway,
yeah. Castellanos. I would argue perfection. But
yeah, well, yes. Castellanos hits the go-ahead homer last night.
Yep.
Battle of the bullpens in this game won by the Reds, much to my chagrin as someone who bet on the Pirates. Reds beat the Pirates 5-3.
Yeah, I mean,
there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos. It will be a home run.
Okay.
That's what it was. That's what it was. Reds have kind of like taken to. I mean, obviously Castellanos had the fight with you know the Cardinals at home plate and the pitcher and everything. And it'd be one thing if for just him after the game to kind of be like, oh yeah, like I was just showing emotion and all that stuff. That's what they want in baseball. Like the entire team has kind of rallied around this as their thing. There were a bunch of quotes today from guys. We want to be like, you know, the like in your face sons of guns and this kind of like this was like the language that was being used basically by the team before the game. I just think that's really interesting that, you know, like we see stuff like this all the time, but like they literally seem to want to be that. Like whatever that representation is of a team that's going to do stuff like that, like they all seem pretty interested in it. I think that's kind of interesting. From a betting standpoint, I still don't think they're very good. Castellanos is completely on fire right now, which is part of the reason why they're playing remotely well. They exited a series where they scored a million runs, and they ended a series where they obviously went under, and it helped them. One of the Pirates' best players, Key Brian Hayes, like gets injured in the first series against the Cubs, and like was going to be, you know, argue if he achieved his potential even remotely this year, was going to be one of their best run producers. So they kind of fell into like a soft series here as well.
Okay, so that's the Reds beating the Pirates 5-3. We move on to the American League East, where Boston handles the Rays. The Red Sox get their first win of the season, win 11-2. Nick Pivetta gets pretty lucky, I think, and 4 walks in 5 innings, but like doesn't allow the big hit here. Michael Waka Waka Waka. I'm going to keep doing that because I like it. Shelled, though, for Tampa Bay.
Yeah, this was an over winner for me, which was awesome last night. Had a really good night in baseball last night. And one of the reasons was just, like in the Orioles series, it's like, here's what happens when a team that's supposed to hit like doesn't hit whatsoever and the pitching is never going to change. I agree with you on Pivetta, but I think the most important thing is just like everyone not JD Martinez, including him, but everyone not JD Martinez, like finally actually got hits last night, and they basically just like immediately all caught up to their projections and averages. The really interesting thing is like that's Michael Waka. Okay, now like everyone, you know, everyone's kind of like swinging a hot bat or whatever you want to say, like cliche wise. Now they fall into glass now tonight, which is like a really interesting situation in a game with a high total. Like, going to be honest, kind of like the under in that game, but really interesting kind of like the hot and cold nature of the Red Sox offense and trying to kind of predict that game to game.
All right, Red Sox again beat the Rays 11-2. How about the Cubs taking down the Brewers 5-3? Another loser for me. BetQL did have a 5-star winner on the under in this game, which barely came through. 8 runs scored. Cubs win 5-3. Trevor Williams, 6 innings, 6 strikeouts in his Cubs debut. Cubs win.
Yeah, and I forgot like Marquee Network was on this year too, and like Shyambi is calling the game. So I like all of this like snuck up on me that this was happening this year. I don't know if I have a ton on this game, except like I still think the Brewers are really, I mean, the Brewers haven't hit at all yet. I still think they're good.
Yeah.
I still think they're good, but like, man, this imagine if they didn't come back game one in that insane comeback against the Twins in game one of that
series. The
Athletics,
like, if that's the case.
Yeah, we had cracked, right? They beat Atlanta up until this game. It just, I still think Milwaukee's fine. Their starting rotation still looks good on paper to me. Like, let's see what happens, but just keep stringing together bad losses.
How was my Harry Carey impersonation?
It was pretty good.
The Cubs won.
It's like a C plus. Yeah.
I'm gonna lose this Tigers bet, and it's gonna like enrage me.
The Twins take the lead.
No, but they have men on first and third in the top of the 10th with nobody out.
Do you watch any of Mize? It was on nationally today. I don't know if you watched it. I watched like 20 minutes of it.
I did not.
First of all, like, sparse attendance in Detroit for the day game, where you could literally, if I was anywhere in the stadium yelling, you could have heard me on the telecast. That's kind of what it kind of had, like, an eerie vibe to it.
Yeah, yeah. Heard me then.
I watched Mize for like 2 or 3 innings. Like, obviously, for people who don't know, like, number one overall pick,
2018,
two years ago, yeah, in 2018. Maggie's debut, and like, I thought he looked good. Like, all the analysis was that he's kind of like, you know, kind of a future star and everything. So it was interesting to watch him. If you haven't seen him pitch yet, obviously he's in the rotation.
Here's my thoughts on the extra inning rule in Major League Baseball. If I win best because of it, I like it. And if I don't, I hate it. Right now, I think I hate it because I feel like this is going to go really poorly for me. We'll move on though. How about your Angels, Ken? The Halos continue to rake, beat the Astros 7-6, 4 runs in the bottom of the 8th. The Astros bullpen gets roughed up. Mike Trout hits his first homer of the season. The Angels, your first place Los Angeles Angels right now in the AL West.
I don't know if it's just me being like glass half empty. Like, I would love to get all these tickets home months and months from now. And I'm incredibly happy that they came back to win this game as just somebody who has win total over or division. And I have like a little bit of Ohtani MVP. We'll see how that goes. Like, are the Angels good? Like, I don't even know if they're good. They keep pulling rabbits out of hats literally night after night after
their
night.
Their lineup's awesome. Like, oh, like, it's incredible. The lineup is incredible. Yeah. Like, you know what? Actually, I want to say this, and I think I texted this earlier today, that I kind of feel like the Joe Maddon factor was, like, looked over and glossed over by everybody. Like, I know last year didn't go great for the Angels. Shortened season, obviously, but like, it's become like, well, this team's never going to win with Trout, right? Like, Joe Maddon's an awesome manager. And, like, this lineup's great. I feel like you were kind of ahead of the curve here with this team prior to the season.
The ceiling is, like, astronomical because they basically could have the best lineup in the league, basically. I mean, that's what the ceiling is. If you're the best at something, then you probably have a chance to do pretty well. They have yet to win a game where they've gotten an excellent performance from a starting pitcher, and they've gotten like okay performances, but all of these games have devolved into like coin flip late inning weirdo finishes, and they've literally come out on top of every single one of them with just an insane amount of just clutch hitting and randomness. And you know, there's 1 to 2 teams every year, honestly, where we look 60 games in, 100 games in, and we're like, God, they're like 30-11 in one run games, or like, oh, their run differential is really low, but they're, you know, 20 games over 500. This is the early candidate to be that team, because like they are not winning, let's say, as conventionally as a team like the Dodgers is winning games.
You better you bet BetQL Audio Network. Nick Hostos, Ken Barkley, running through our baseball takeaways from last night. We'll do a little NBA before we say au revoir for hour number one. James Mazzola, 2 segments on the Masters to start hour number two. Let's, in the interest of time, let's group the final 2 games in here. Dodgers run roughshod over the Athletics. I had Dodgers -1.5. I don't know if you had them just like to win the game or you had them on the line.
I had everything. Everything you could have. I even had like 2.5. Yeah.
Great. So that was awesome. So you won everything. Yeah. Oakland's now 0-5. Dustin May, 6 innings, 8 strikeouts. Frankie Montas looks terrible, continuing the trend from last year. One just note that didn't matter for last night's game, but just something to watch. You were talking about their loaded rotation. If David Price did not crack the rotation, obviously he opted out of the season last year due to COVID concerns. He's pitching out of the bullpen right now. He was bad yesterday. 2 innings, allowed 3 runs. The only 3 runs that the A's scored in this game came on David Price relief innings. Just something to watch moving forward here. I don't think he's even probably like one of the 10 most important players on the Dodgers this year. But, like, you'd obviously like for him to pitch well if you're a Dodgers bettor or a Dodgers fan. And then we had the White Sox, another game that we won money on last night. Shut out the Mariners 6-0 behind an excellent start from Carlos Rodon. 5 innings, 9 strikeouts. He absolutely owns the Mariners. Michael Kopech, 2 innings in relief, 5 strikeouts. He looked great. And Yermín Mercedes, another 3 hits as he continues to just dominate on this early baseball season.
Kind of has like a Melky Cabrera vibe to him, I feel like, when I watch him at the plate. I mean, like a little bigger, honestly. Yeah, but just, I mean, Melky like hit for insane average a couple years in a row.
Yeah, but like, Yermín Mercedes looked like he ate Melky Cabrera. Like, he a big boy.
But the Melk Man, I know we call Yermín in that situation. But, yeah, I mean, for the A's, I think what we're trying to figure out right now is, like, okay, this is not how you want to start your season. Forget scoring standpoint. How about from a schedule standpoint? You play Houston, who wants to like salt the earth of your franchise so you can never win again for four games. And then you draw the best team in Major League Baseball by a mile for three. like, does that mean you're awful? I will say we've gone one time through their rotation. First of all, the A's have gone over in all five games they played this year. And they've gone over in all five games because their pitching staff in the five games has allowed 8, 9, 9, 9, and 10 runs. It's just like insane. Total tonight, by the way, for Bassett versus Kershaw, 8. That's your total tonight.
Okay. Anything on the White Sox game?
Besides for the under in that game. No, I mean, just like, I think we know the White Sox are good. And I think what we're going to figure out, I mean, look at the series. The Angels are starting with Houston right now. When you play the Angels, wacky things happen. And maybe that gave you like a little bit of a value last night with the White Sox coming out of that crazy series where they lost 3 out of 4. I think the Angels are going to just make teams look ridiculous and crazy and maybe bad at times. And then they're going to come out of those series and we're going to be like, oh no, they're actually fine. That's just what the Angels do, because apparently of how the Angels are going to play baseball this year, like high scoring, crazy games. I think we knew the White Sox were going to be fine from a talent standpoint. You and I both had the White Sox last night. I think unsurprising that they won. They also took a ton of steam like in a couple hours before first pitch.
I do have a couple NBA notes that I want to get to, and we don't have a lot of time here, so maybe we could fit it in at another point during the show here. Just, yeah. I thought, you know, when we do our a little MVP conversation later in the NBA, I do want to bring up Luka, because I feel like he's kind of on the periphery right now. Dallas has won 5 straight. Scores 31 last night. The Mavericks defense, excellent as they beat the Jazz 111-103. It's a bigger picture. I was like, Oklahoma City's defense is horrendous. They give up 132 to the Pistons. I might start targeting team total overs against Oklahoma City.
Sure.
The Spurs defense is not atrocious. Great. Something else to consider here. Garland scores 37, Sexton 22. And you did a great job talking about this yesterday. And you're right, Ken, where the Knicks fail yet another test game and blow another double-digit lead in one of these spots. The Nets come back to beat them 114-112.
Yeah, we'll do some MVP later in the show. You're right about Luka. I think he can be part of the conversation. I think as part of that MVP conversation, the Lakers are kind of unrelated. LeBron out of the mix and dropping rapidly and not going to come back soon. But between the Lakers and the MVP, I think there's like a lot to chew on with those two topics. And really from a betting standpoint, I think they're valuable decisions in both cases.
All right, hour number 3, the Power Hour on You Better You Bet. All our baseball picks and NBA picks for tonight. Will Brinson still to come. Chris Ronji still to come. But to start next hour, it's a cool 40 minutes. 2 segments with the great James Mazzola of the For Profit Podcast talking everything Masters. Hello, friends. It's all coming up right after this.